Today we're stopping in Houston. Bad news for the Texans yesterday. Arian Foster ripped up his groin and sounds like he will be out. And exactly how long? Paul Galland from CBS Sports Radio in Houston joins us. Paul, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing all right, man.
What is the status on Foster? How long?
Well, they're expecting him to be placed on the injured reserve with designation to return. So what will likely happen is he will be out for the first 8 weeks of the season. The Texans have a bye week in week 9, and he'll be able to practice with the team starting around week 6. This is literally the worst thing that could have happened to the Texans this offseason. They're already dealing with this quarterback competition between two very mediocre quarterbacks, Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, guys who used to be backups to Tom Brady, and then one fizzling with the Cleveland Browns and another playing in one game ever. So to have this on top of that, you're going to probably be dealing with, in the eyes of many around the league, a backup quarterback under center, and behind him, a smorgasbord of mediocre running backs on top of that.
Who do you think, for all of our fantasy people, who do you think will be the running back to emerge as the number one?
Stay away. Just stay away from all of them, honestly. Alfred Blue would be the number one guy at this point to pick up, but this is a guy who had a third of his yards in one game against the worst running defense in the NFL, the Cleveland Browns. He had 150 of his 500 or so. He was averaging 3 yards a carry on the season, and he averaged 4 yards a carry in that game. So you take away that Browns game where he's playing against the worst defense in the NFL against the run, that number is even worse. So I would stay away from Texans running backs, just like if I was a fantasy football player, I'd stay away from New England Patriot running backs. I would imagine this season it's going to be a running back by committee group, and we will see, I guess, which one gets the most carries. But, yeah, this is a big blow for fantasy owners everywhere, as well as the Texans.
Paul, like you said, the Texans had questions at quarterback. Foster now, I mean, that's brutal news that it's that long. Do they have the opportunity to bring anybody in, or are they going to have to choose from between Blue and the rest? Because he's not that convincing when I watch him play, and he's certainly not that convincing when you watch him talk, you know, a quote in here, I would say it's an opportunity. Doesn't sound real jacked about it, actually.
Right, he's soft-spoken. I wouldn't make too much out of that, but what I would make a lot out of is a running back that they brought in today for a workout and that they were assuming they would sign afterwards, Pierre Thomas. He doesn't want to sign with them. So he left town without actually signing a deal. They brought in some other guys. They brought in Joe McKnight, who you might remember playing at USC, playing for the New York Jets, but not really doing much with the New York Jets. Molina, a running back who used to play for Texas A&M. They're going to bring in a lot of guys, and maybe as training camp wears on, we see some other players get cut. They'll bring in some more. They'll have some more options. But as for right now, their options are pretty limited. And, you know, they're going to have to probably at this point just hope that they can stay healthy with the limited amount of guys that they have behind the quarterback right now.
Paul, kind of joking, but their best fantasy option might be J.J. Watt, who had 4 touchdowns last year on the D-line. Like, they've got the best defensive player in football, and some argue the best player in football. And they're kind of wasting it right now because their offense just isn't close to being competitive. How's J.J. Watt handling all this? You know, he's 26 years of age. He's in his fifth season. And, you know, Houston looks like they're getting farther from the playoffs rather than closer.
Well, I'm pretty sure that J.J. Watt is a robot sent back in time from the future. This is a guy who always says the right thing. So if you were to ask J.J. Watt straight up, hey, what do you think about the quarterback situation? Oh, what do you think about Arian Foster? He would give some extremely great, politically correct answer that would also reveal nothing about what he feels about this current situation. But you imagine he's frustrated. He's a competitive player. He did just sign, though, that big deal with the Texans. He's going to be here for a long time. Yeah, this is the problem that like half the NFL is dealing with. If you don't have a quarterback, but you're good enough to stay in the 8-8 territory, the odds of you finding that upper echelon quarterback prospect and having the chance to actually draft the guy, they're pretty close to none. I know that Buffalo Bills GM Doug Whaley said today that they're about as close to quarterback purgatory as they can get. The Texans are right in the same category as the Buffalo Bills. Quarterback purgatory. it ain't fun. Luckily, they do have a very good defense. I don't know if the defense is going to be able to score points for them. J.J. Watt did have 2 touchdowns last season, but they're going to have their work cut out for them for the first half of the season, especially without Arian Foster.
Paul, if Bill O'Brien doesn't have Foster, and we know he won't, and the quarterbacks are okay and mediocre, what kind of offense are we going to see out of the Texans this year? How are they going to move the ball, because they can't win every week 10-9 on a defensive touchdown and a field goal?
You're going to see a bad. You're going to see a bad offense. I mean, Bill O'Brien, I think he's a pretty good head coach. He was very fiery to defend his quarterbacks on Sunday when he was asked about the quarterback competition that he has on his hands. And in fact, he paused mid-sentence to say, you know, I'm really pissed off about all the criticism that these guys get. These are two guys that the city should be proud of. But this is a city that has, best case scenario in its entire history, has had Matt Schaub as the quarterback. And while Matt Schaub was decent for this team when they weren't much of a contender, you know, when he came back and the team was a contender, he was very underwhelming. So I don't know what Bill O'Brien can really do here. I don't. I would hate to be in his shoes right now. What the Texans pride themselves on is being a different offense from game to game. Bill O'Brien coached with the New England Patriots, and that's what they do as well. Some games they'll run a whole lot. Some games they'll open it up and spread the field and pass a whole lot. But with the weapons that he has to work with offensively, especially after, you know, releasing Andre Johnson, the franchise's best receiver, at the beginning of the offseason, yeah, their work is cut out for them. I'm curious to see how he'll try to work with this group, but there's probably going to have to be a lot of tricks up his sleeve, maybe trick plays. Yeah, I would not envy being in his shoes. I think he'll be able to at least make them score 10 points, 13, 17 a game. And that's going to put a whole lot of pressure on the defense, Romeo Crennel and J.J. Watt.
We are talking Houston Texans with Paul Gallant from CBS Sports Radio. Of course, Arian Foster done for at least the first 8 weeks of the NFL season. And by that time, the season could be over for the Texans. Are Texan fans already looking to the draft next year and a possible number one overall selection for a quarterback?
You know, it's funny you say that. Last night we had a caller into my show that asked if it's okay to start tanking right now. They haven't even played a preseason game. Some people are starting to look like that. Texans fans are a very skeptical bunch, and I don't blame them, because the last time that this team looked like it was ready to take that next big step, they decided to put on some high school Letterman jackets while going into a game against the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football. They were murdered on national television, and really, they haven't been back there since. And I empathize with them. It is not easy to be in this position for as long as they do. They're impatient, and you really can't blame them. So, yeah, maybe they are feeling that, but here's the reality. The defense is good enough, and the division that they are playing in, the AFC South, and the NFC division that they'll play against this season, the NFC South, those two divisions are bad enough that you could probably look for at least 6 wins out of those 8 games, 7 wins out of those 8 games. It depends on totally what happens with the Indianapolis Colts. Let's just assume the Colts beat them twice. But they have a pretty good shot to beat, I don't know, 3 out of the 4 teams in the NFC South, and definitely to beat the Jaguars and Titans twice each. Can they get any more wins after maybe 6 or 7 from those two divisions? That's what they're going to be looking for. And if I were on the outside looking in, I'd look at this team probably as a 7, 8, 9-win team, much like they were last season.
Paul, when you look at the start of the schedule with Foster out, regular season, Chiefs, Panthers, Buccaneers, Falcons, Colts, Jags, let's just go that far, the first 6, what's a realistic expectation given what you've seen of the team, this injury, and the opposition?
I'm already under the assumption that they're going to lose to the Indianapolis Colts on that Thursday night game, which is right towards the beginning of the year. But I did look ahead, and this is, like, I guess, the one silver lining you could pull out for those who look at Arian Foster, his injury, and maybe think it's not that big of a deal. They're crazy if they think that, by the way. But if they were going under that logic, the silver lining they could pull out is that over the first 8 weeks of the season, the running defenses that they are going up against are all about 16th in the NFL last season when it comes to total yards allowed on the ground, and I guess DVOA on the ground. those teams are all at least 16 or below, and some of them are at the very bottom of the NFL. Kansas City's defense isn't particularly good against the run in particular, the Jaguars, the Titans. I mean, this is the one positive you can pull out of it, and we did see a guy at Alfred Blue who is not that impressive run for 150 yards against a Browns defense that, of course, was the last in the NFL last season against the run. So, I mean, I guess they have a chance. The offensive line is going to have to carry their weight and then some. It's tough to be optimistic, you know, about this team having a legitimate shot to do damage in the AFC playoffs, though. And, you know, even if those defenses that they're going up against aren't particularly good against the run, early on in the year, I mean, you know, they're still going to have to find ways to score points passing the football. And, you know, one of my big things when it comes to quarterbacks in this league, you have a good one if this guy can pull you out of a 10-point hole or a 14-point hole. And now, Brian Hoyer, they aren't those guys. So they're going to have to play as close to perfect in all of these games to have a chance to start off strong. And honestly, I would look at them the first half of the year probably starting off something like 3-5.
Really appreciate the rundown, Paul. We'll be talking to you throughout the season. Thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me.